You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the place you go for news and facts and donate buttons, where you send your extra shekels and yen and rubles and everything else, because we'll take it all. I'm sure we will. Drachma. And also where you can go to nationalbugle.com and click on the co-certified app and download that co-certified app, which now, I'll give you more details in a forthcoming program, but now available in some form or another for Apple users, because Tim Cook, gay as he may be, he cannot screw chauffeur co-certified. Okay, this is a call-in show. I will take calls. I'm going to have a little editorial at first, but just, you can jot this down. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So as you probably know, before I do this show in the morning, I usually do Stormfront Radio, where I'm usually the sidekick of Don Black, because sometimes I run the show myself. And sometimes I'm not on it. It just all depends. What's needed? I'm the utility infielder. And I have to admit, getting a little bit, the new word is news-cucked today, which is when you miss a story, because all this stuff had been happening in Venezuela, and I wasn't aware of it until after the show was over. So we didn't address this stuff happening in Venezuela. So Venezuela has been in the news a good deal. It's been a country that President Trump has always been kind of hostile to. And now, because instead of trying to make America great again, his new agenda seems to be make America not socialist again, or something like that. So Venezuela is socialist, and therefore it's came into the crosshairs. Well, why is it in the crosshairs? I mean, it wasn't that much on his radar screen, but it was certainly on John Bolton's radar screen, on Mike Pompeo's radar screen, and then they hired Elliot Abrams, of all people. Elliot Abrams, you would remember him from the Iran-Contra affair, where, among other things, Israel at first was selling weapons to Iran that it could use against Iraq in the Iran-Iraq war. Of course, the United States was backing Saddam Hussein in Iraq for the first several years of the war, but then wanted to play both sides, Ronald Reagan wanted the Ayatollah's help in getting a few high-profile hostages released from Lebanon, Lebanese groups that Iran had contacts with, and so use Israel. Israel's always on both sides, or whatever. There was more direct dealings with Iran in the 1980s. Elliot Abrams of the Project for a New American Century that helped, shall I say, plot 9/11? Well, if not plot 9/11, certainly plot the post 9/11 response. At that, yes, that L.A. Abrams got brought in as the State Department's point man on Venezuela just a few months ago. And so now we've got a coup attempt. I have the feeling it's going to get put down. Like I say, I was news cucked on it. I've spent the past couple of hours trying to get back up to speed. And I'm checking various sources, listening to trying to get some Fox. I've been listening to ABC News and then Moon Over Alabama, their website, and the Daily Stormer, which was not news cucked. Andrew Anglin did seem to be on top of it, and just to see what's going on. Now, my feeling about Venezuela is, okay, so you had Hugo Chavez, and he was popular, and he won numerous, he, as president or as leader of the ruling party, won numerous elections, presidential elections, National Assembly elections, not always, and referendum, but not always. I think his record was something like, 13-2. He lost a couple of national elections, including an election that would have expanded his powers. It was a referendum, and it was defeated. Are they fair? I don't know. Are our elections fair? What do you think? But he didn't win every election, and that means something if you're not winning every election. And then, of course, he died of cancer. Who knows what that was all about? Some people just get cancer in their late 50s or whatever age he was. He wasn't that old. And of course, there are ways of, if you have access to the person in the right way, there's ways of inducing cancer. But probably, you know, it's more likely that he just got cancer and died. Probably more likely, especially seeing as he got all this treatment in Cuba, and they might have been able to tell the difference between cancer that just happens and cancer that was induced by, you know, for instance, some sort of radioactive substance or other kind of poison. Who knows? But I shouldn't go down that lane, so I won't go down that lane. Maduro is not nearly as charismatic as Chavez. Cesar Chavez was very charismatic. He was very charismatic. And did he run Venezuela well? In terms of foreign policy, it was certainly much more independent, and he got along with Iran. He got along with Russia. He got along with countries that are not Zio, Shlomo, Globo, Homo. And so that's a positive. How about, did he run the economy well? I don't know. I'm not in Venezuela. There's a lot of oil there. The rap against him is that rather than reinvesting an adequate amount of the oil revenues into the infrastructure of the oil industry to keep the pumps pumping, that he was using it for all sorts of foreign policy purposes, keeping Cuba afloat. And he was sending heating oil aid to poor people in Boston for propaganda, of course, but all sorts of things that wouldn't necessarily be a top priority for a lot of Venezuelans. But you know something? It's their country. It's not my country. And at the end of the day, and Maduro probably less capabilities than Chavez, I would assume, but I don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't speak Spanish. No hablo español. But at the end of the day, the thing is, two things. One is, if I had my druthers, I would rather Venezuela be run by Hugo Chavez or Maduro rather than the people who have been trying to overthrow them. And by the way, Maduro lost the National Assembly election. So if it was that totalitarian, then they're just not very good at it. I'm not saying, you know, you can have all sorts of election rigging and still wind up losing. you know, Donald Trump is probably an example of that. But just given Venezuela as being part of a block of countries that resists Shlomo Globo Homo, then good for him. But having said that, whatever. If the Venezuelan people elect somebody else, fine. If they don't, they try to elect somebody else and they believe they did, and then there's like a coup, generals step in or coup in the street, and it succeeds based on the Venezuelan people, whatever. But that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is, without a doubt, American prompting of this. There's absolutely no way that America is not very much involved up to the ears. With you've got the people I just mentioned: L.A. Abrams, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Senator Marco Rubio, who's represents Florida, who's Cuban, who speaks fluent Spanish. And, you know, they've elevated this guy, Guaido. Some people are calling him Random Guaido, Juan Guaido. So he's in his 30s, very young. He might even be early 30s. He's very young. I guess he's the Speaker of the Assembly. That was my understanding, the opposition-led Assembly. Why he would be the Speaker of the Assembly and not a more established and better-known person, I'm not sure. These types of things do happen sometimes. I don't know the background of it, but whatever. He's declared himself some months ago to be, what was it, back in November or something, to be the interim president of Venezuela. And the United States, with Bolton, this is even before Elliot Abrams, but with Bolton and Pompeo, they jumped right on and recognized him. I think it was the very first country that recognized him as the president of Venezuela, despite the fact he controlled nothing. And Maduro has shown a great deal of restraint. I mean, you've got somebody parading around the world claiming to be the president of Venezuela, breaking all sorts of laws, of course, and he's not under arrest. So Maduro has shown a great deal of restraint. There have been attempts, you know, this idea that America was sending humanitarian aids, truckloads of humanitarian aid across the Colombian border, a place where the United States has military bases. Wow. And the Venezuelan government refused it, blocked the convoys. You probably remember that. There was a lot of ruckus. Well, now what's happened over the past 12 hours, I believe, is Random Guaido, or Juan Guaido, he went on, what is it, YouTube, on some sort of video with a few dozen military people standing behind him, saying that he's taken over the government. And what it seems to be is they've gotten a lot of civilians out in the streets that they can use. Well, I mean, are you calling them human shields, really? I mean, if it was a human shield, the idea would be that they are out there in order to make it hard for the forces loyal to the president to shoot at the armed military people who are opposed to the president. That would be human shields. I don't think there's so much out there as human shields. I think they're out there as fodder. They have been sent out to put them in a position where there will be martyrs. And then those martyrs will be used as an excuse for humanitarian intervention. It seems to be what the plan is. And watching ABC News over the past hour or so, they showed a scene where you had about three armored personnel carriers, or armored vehicles, armored military vehicles in a large street in Caracas, completely surrounded by unarmed demonstrators. Although I don't think they're all unarmed. You heard all sorts of bangs, which could be fireworks or they could be gunshots. They were surrounding the vehicles, throwing rocks at the vehicles, and the vehicles were just there, or they were milling around very slowly. Then one of them started driving into the crowd. Now, it wasn't going fast. Now, you know, you've seen all those pictures of James Fields, and that's a whole other story I'm not going to get into. But James Fields, when you saw those pictures of James Fields going into the crowd, according to the overhead pictures, I guess the drone pictures, the maximum speed of his vehicle, I think the speed of his vehicle when it entered the crowd was less than 20 miles per hour. I want to say 17 miles per hour. 17 miles per hour. And it seemed to be going pretty fast, 17 miles per hour. This vehicle would have been probably moving at about no more than 10, probably closer to 5 miles per hour. But even while you're watching the footage, the ABC News commentator is saying, you can see this armored personnel carrier driving full speed into the crowd. Well, it wasn't full speed. And people got hit. I don't know if anybody really got hurt. It was hard to tell from my vantage point. And then moments later, you saw one of these vehicles, which had not been on the screen, come back onto the screen, and it was on fire. So, I mean, if you are a soldier in one of these vehicles and you're coming under attack like that with rocks and fire, your life is at stake, and you've got this massive mob of more people than you are just outside. Your life is at stake. So what they're trying to do is manufacture martyrs in order to get an excuse for an invasion from the United States. So listening to, and I'm going to see if I can get some of this up for the remaining minute or two before the break, but listening to the ABC. Okay, so ABC, they had somebody, I think with an Irish name, from the Council on Foreign Relations, who was providing some commentary. And I think it was the Council on Foreign Relations, maybe it wasn't. They also had their own correspondent. It was either their own correspondent or the Council on Foreign Relations person who made the point that a lot of people, like opposition people in Venezuela, like a month or so ago, were under the impression that American troops were right on the border and ready to invade. Now, they weren't talking about pro-government people who were fearing it. They were talking about anti-government people who would welcome it, who would wish for it. So it seems that, and maybe this is what they call gaslighting, that the some of these people who are now out on the streets think that the cavalry, the American cavalry, is right over they're just right over the hill, and they're going to swoop in. And so they're taking all sorts of risks that they normally would not take. There was one other point that was made, and I'm going to see if I can play this for you. And this is the ABC News reporter who has interviewed Maduro multiple times and says that Maduro doesn't fear Trump. But he fears. Hands off in his... Oh, bugger! But he fears Bolton and Pompeo. Well, I'm trying to play this for you. Sorry, I just hit the wrong thing. Let's try this.
Venezuela is what he's been telling his people in Venezuela, and he's been putting out there on Twitter because he thinks basically the U.S. just wants to intervene and they want to turn Venezuela into a modern day Vietnam. Venezuelan Americans will tell you my story.
Okay, they have been. Let's go back a little bit. I think maybe I can get it here.
Afraid of President Trump, but he was afraid of a lot of the people Connor mentioned. Senator Rubio had put out a picture of Muammar Gaddafi, and then Muammar Gaddafi, after he was captured, all bloodied.
Yeah.
He tweeted that out as a message to Maduro. Maduro said that was grotesque. And he admitted to me that he was scared of people like John Bolton. He was scared of Mike Pompeo, people who he thought wanted to start a new Cold War.
That's what I wanted you to hear. We'll be right back after the break.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the energy cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Back to National Bugle Radio, National Bugle Radio, the world's largest and most sophisticated news gathering organization. Well, I don't know. I mean, we've got RBN too as a news gathering organization. When you think of everything, when you think of what a dearth of resources we have to work with. You know, what John Stadtmiller is able to do with, you know, just one person, just John Stadtmiller. Now he's accepting donations, but, you know, he built this up. A few other people have been able to build up, and we are standing strong against the whole controlled media and providing real information. And exposing their fraud, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I was during the break just trying to update myself on what's going on, and like I say, this is a call-in show. If you want to call and we can talk about it, it's 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Okay, now forget about the news for a second. Let's go to the analyst. I'll put on my analyst hat. And I have the feeling that this is not going to succeed. I don't know. We'll see. It seems so far that it's not going to succeed. But what would happen if it doesn't succeed, if it falls apart? if it falls apart, I think it would be looked at, it could wind up being looked at as Trump's Bay of Pigs, especially if, you know, a fair amount of people die. Now, it may turn out that there won't be CIA people captured like there was in the Bay of Pigs, where the CIA people, I guess some got killed and some got captured. And it was a giant embarrassment that the Kennedy administration couldn't pretend didn't happen. If it turns into a Bay of Pigs, where the administration is humiliated, because remember, I mean, they've been trying to meme this random Guaido, this Juan Guaido, into some sort of national hero. And, you know, most of the people, when he declared himself interim president, apparently most people in Venezuela didn't even know who he was. He certainly wasn't the leader of the opposition. He was somebody, if he was the Speaker of the Assembly, who knows? People, he must have just become it. I don't know what led up to that. But this is something that Trump's been pushing. It's stupid. Well, not so much Trump, but I mean, Trump's gone along with it's a stupid thing. And it's, you know, it's part of this shift to make America not socialist again. Whatever socialism means, socialism has meant so many different things. And, you know, one of the early discussions I had with David Duke when I started on his show was when you get down to it, the problem with the Bolsheviks wasn't so much that they were socialist, it was that they were Jewish. I mean, there are problems both ways. It was kind of an extreme form of socialism where they were seizing all property and this and that, but it was really an ethnic vendetta against the Russian ruling class. And as events unfolded over the next dozen years or so, 15 years, ethnic vendetta against lots of Russians and Ukrainian Slavs. That was the worst element of it. If you look at communism, the communism of the Soviet Union that wound up getting dismembered, the Soviet Union of the 80s, certainly the late 80s under Gorbachev, you had, well, I won't say press freedom, but you had a pretty reasonable amount of freedom of expression. You did by that time. Situation wasn't so bad. It was, you know, if you look at the Soviet communism of the Khrushchev and Brezhnev eras up until the mid 80s, you know, Brezhnev and then his two immediate successors, it was heavy-handed, it was very bureaucratic. You had a state-owned and planned economy. Life wasn't good, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And the Russian people weren't being replaced through massive immigration. The Russian people, their present might not be good, but they at least they could look to the future. And can we really look to the future? Future, I think, is a much more scary proposition for us than it was for the Russians in the later Soviet years. So this whole thing about, well, Venezuela is bad because it's communist or socialist, whatever. It's not our country. They can do what they want with their country. We're about to go off to the break again, but there is the whole oil thing. It does have a lot of oil. And, well, what difference does that make? We can get our own oil. We have our own oil. There's oil from the Middle East. What difference does it make? Well, let's talk about that after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Public Broadcasting Network. Before getting back to Venezuela, I don't seem to have any callers, which is fine because I got a lot to talk about today. I'm just going to extend a, I guess, congratulations. Is that what you do? To brand new Emperor Naruhito of Japan. His father, Akihito, who was the son of Hirohito from World War II, Akihito abdicated. I guess yesterday or at midnight, and so, well, actually, they're 14 hours ahead of us. So like a few hours ago, Akihito abdicated. Naruhito is the new emperor. Unless you've got information, I don't. The emperors don't play any real role in politics. They're a symbol of the country. The Japanese people in general seem to like having an emperor. So fine. I prefer a Republican form of government, but whatever. If they like it, fine. So he's 59 years old, and his dad, I don't know, his dad would be in his 80s, who is going to retire. It's the first, I think it's the first abdication in many, many years. And the new era will be called the Dewa era. Okay, so congratulations, Naruhito. Well, getting back to The oil. Do you remember during the election? This was a stupid thing, and I don't there's a stupid thing that Donald Trump used to say. He would talk about when they talk about Iraq, he'd say, you know, I told them, I said, just go in and take the oil. Just go take the oil. And the generals, they didn't listen to me. Take the oil. It's a stupid thing to say. What does it mean? What was he thinking when he said it? I don't know. And I don't know what he's thinking now. And I don't want to go, you know, obviously we're all disappointed with what's happened with the Trump administration. I don't want to spew a lot of anger at Donald Trump. As you all know, my position is that he had reasonably good intentions. That I think he probably thought he was going to do something good for the country. He got in and he's been overwhelmed. He's demoralized. He's defeated. He's probably more or less given up. And so that's why we see an end to, I think he's more or less given up, but maybe not completely, but he's certainly in disarray. Maybe Steve Miller is going to be able to pull out something for, immigration, get the situation halfway back under control, or maybe not. Foreign policy wise, you know, his foreign policy was to stop interventionist wars and nation building and repair relations with Russia. He always said positive things about Israel, so you know that. But of course, the foreign policy has just become a disaster. What does that have to do with Venezuela? Well, there is a line of logic, and I don't know if this is true or not, but there is a line of reasoning that if you are going to finally go along with Benjamin Netanyahu's long-held desire to bomb Iran, well, America might not get so much oil from the Middle East, but Europe does. And Japan does, and a lot of other countries do. They get oil from the Persian Gulf, and all that shipping from the Persian Gulf is going through the Straits of Hormuz. And if you bomb Iran, even a crippled Iran, has the ability to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, which it effectively controls. I'm looking at my globe right here. Yep, it very effectively, if you're shipping out of the Persian Gulf because of this little peninsula jutting off of a small peninsula jutting off the big Arabian Peninsula, which sticks way into, you know, what otherwise would be the Iranian coastline, and the Iranian coastline kind of gets indented right there. All shipping has to travel for quite some time, I guess, like what? At least 100 nautical miles, maybe a couple hundred nautical miles, very close to the Iranian shoreline. So there's no way you could, I mean, tankers are a big target. There's no way that you could bomb Iran and keep those shipping lanes open. So one line of reasoning has been that, well, you got to secure the alternative oil, and that's Venezuela. And maybe it is, and I don't know, but that's a line of reasoning, and it deserves to be out there. So, among other things, that would be a motivation. Because what else? What else would be a motivation? I mean, yeah, there are certainly people who care about Venezuela being socialist. Oh, we've got to stamp out socialism. It's the type of thing that you can sell to the boomer base, and I don't mean to be insulting to boomers, being a boomer myself, but being a boomer myself, I just remember being raised on anti-communism, that anti-communism was kind of the foreign policy religion up until the dismemberment of the Soviet Union. So there's a lot of older men who communism, we got to stop the commies. But of course, to the extent that they were raised that way, it's been off the radar screens pretty much for decades. Does anybody really care anymore? They shouldn't. Nobody should care. Nobody should care if a country calls itself socialist or communist or whatever. Our problems, and a lot of people say, oh, Obama's a communist or a socialist or whatever. Our problems aren't, okay, first of all, we don't have a planned economy like they do. We don't have massive government ownership of the economy, right? And the Soviet Union wasn't the Soviet Union because of, a complicated tax code or because of government overregulation of business. That was not the Soviet model. The Soviet model was government ownership of business and not just the commanding heights, but pretty much all business, and then planning of the economy, not a market economy, a planned economy. Very, very different. And we don't have that. So it's, if you want to say, oh, Obama's communist, Obamacare is communist or whatever, it's not what the Soviet Union was. It's not what China was. China has been moving away from all of that with it still has, a lot more government ownership of enterprises than we do. But OK, I tell you what. I know I had one more point I wanted to make, but I'm going to bring on Murr from Wisconsin. We haven't spoken for a while. Murr, how are you doing?
Hi, Patrick. I'm good.
Thank you. I don't
know if you knew. I didn't have any internet since January till just recently, so a lot of catching up to do. But I had been looking at this Florida McKee, or Mackie, I guess. That's Florida, M-A-Q-U-I-S, YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And he had been in the service and down in South America for a long time, but he's been following this Venezuela thing. And the latest video I've come across so far is from the 13th. But he did some really good coverage to see, and like you're saying about basically a convenience type thing. You know, I know back when they were in Iraq, the military, it was, the hubbub, good, at least they're over there and they're not bothering South America. And then Oliver Stone, went south and did his little expose and interviewed everybody, and then Chavez was
cancered
out.
Where did Oliver Stone go to? Did he go to Venezuela?
I think so. I think he went to all South America, went around. Yeah, because maybe it was after Chavez, though, I think, because he, filmed Maduro. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but his name's Silverstein.
He's half Jewish.
Right. But I mean, his father changed the name.
And half of the stuff he does is probably okay. What a coincidence.
Well, I don't know. He's Buddhist, and now we don't want to confuse the bloodline and the religion.
Uh-huh.
And his son, Sean Silverstein, is Muslim.
How about that?
Or claims to be. But anyway, anywho, good subterfuge. And he's known to do buzzsaw interviews and then just not release them. I guess that's what he did, I think, with Phil McConnell. But, that's how it works.
He did a big interview with Vladimir Putin, but it was behind the paywall. I saw parts of it, and I give him respect that if half of the stuff he's done has been good, that was part of the half that was good. I don't know about him all that much. I don't follow him that much, but
I don't either. I mean, there's just so much that you have to really be kind of choosy and still be able to just live. But your National Bugle Radio, NachoTango.com. You can go to Patrick's NationalBugle.com site and click on Join the Conversation. It'll bring you there, and I'm putting some links in there. But I remembered vividly, too, about how, and they're scrubbing it now, but Strava, S-T-R-A-V-A, the satellite that follows the Fitbits, mm-hmm. and all the soldiers have the Fitbits, right? So when they're doing their exercises, you see this heavy heat map, like, say, it might be on a ship deck, and they're weaving in and out. You can see it's really thick, getting their exercise. But then they started, taking out, at least for us to see, any satellite stuff within hours or less. And that was, like I said before, like the end of last year, before I was without communicado. Although that was very restful and peaceful, especially after the 60-degree below wind chills died down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I could go for that. Well, you know, I was saying that, and you might remember the Bay of Pigs, that,
yep.
that it wound up being a humiliation for the Kennedy administration, and probably a good lesson learned. I don't know who in the Trump administration is capable of learning lessons. Maybe Donald Trump is. It would be great to have Elliot Abrams thoroughly discredited and kicked out of the government. I mean, Donald Trump is capable of firing people. He's actually not bad at firing people. He's just so bad at hiring people.
Well, Patrick, got to remember, too, I mean, if you look, both the Kennedys, you know, Bobby and John and Martin Luther King, oh, I'll put that in here, too. Stanley C. Levison, L-E-V-I-S-O-N, there's no middle N there, was his Jewish communist handler. And Kennedy warned him about it, and he laughed it off. You know, he was playing the game, and he took him to Chicago. And
Kennedy warned who about what?
Warned King. Martin Luther King had him at the White House, arm on his shoulder, walking around the garden, and telling him, he says, you know, the FBI is watching you, following you. So then they went through a phone thing, you know, rather than direct contact with Levison. But he was still writing speeches for him and stuff. But, you know, when they took all them out, the Kennedy family, they could have really caused an uproar and ripped this country wide open and ended it. See, that's the whole thing they do want to do. They want to decapitate. You know, they want to do like they do to all the other. Italy's had, what, like 70 governments in the last less than 70 years?
Yeah, they were averaging a prime minister about every 1 to 2 years for a long time. And they were all from the Christian Democrat Party. And then finally the cycle, I think, got broken with what's the guy's name, who owns all the media? Berlusconi kind of broke that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had lookalikes of him, too, doing ornery stuff, you know, just like they do for everybody. But we know the echo money people they're revolutionary. They have been since they killed Christ, you know. The Judaism's a cult, and they've just been steady antichrist. You know, I was remarking to Chris how, you know, show before yours, how they kept saying Easter worshipers,
yeah,
as if their heads would explode if they said Christ or Christian. And they probably would, you know, start turning into the Exorcist or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
Michelle mm-hmm. was there on the scene. On the, how do you say it? The scene? The river?
Michelle. Who are you speaking about?
At Notre Dame. All these elites were out there in boats.
Oh, Michelle Obama.
Burn.
Was she at the... Okay.
Yeah, Mike Schell, her wine glass. You can see a reflection of a cathedral burning in it.
Oh. All right. Well, listen, Murr, thank you for calling. I got another call I need to get.
Oh, goody.
To.
Okay.
It's
thank
good
you.
Bye
bye.
Hear from you. Please call back again.
You too.
Okay. Bye. Okay. And next, let's go to Wayne from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon.
We were talking about Venezuela and the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Venezuela has more oil than Saudi Arabia has. But the problem is, from what I understand, is that the Venezuelan oil is a heavy oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be mixed with other oils.
So it's not as readily available as the Saudi oil.
Exactly. But it can be mixed. Now, in West Virginia, it's the same way with the cold. The high sulfur cold is a lot of times mixed with the lower sulfur cold, so it can be sold.
Okay.
So you have to have available that resource to get that other oil to mix with the Venezuelan oil. And when it comes to Venezuela, you have to realize Russia's in there very, very much so, and
mm-hmm.
so is China.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, a lot of times we have to give Putin a little credit.
I give him lots of
credit. Because he says Trump and America and the world bosses, no, 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 no. You're not going to do it. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on there. But I wanted to brief you on the oil, the heavy oil, needing to be mixed with another oil to be able to, you know, resell it.
Yeah, I'm not an oil expert, but I do know that the Venezuelan oil there, it's of a different quality, and it is a different. It's not as easy to extract, and that's why. I mean, for years it was Saudi Arabia has the most proven oil resources on the planet, and then the past few years you've been hearing Venezuela's got more, and Venezuela wasn't even like in first or second or third place, say 30 years ago. When, you know, everybody thought it was Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Kuwait. So that's important news. But, of course, the oil industry, there's been a lot, you know, the technology's been advanced, which is why a lot of oil and gas that we couldn't get at, we're getting at now. If you want to hang on, you can. Otherwise, thank you.
Yeah, I'll hang on. Go ahead.
Dominates the American opinion.
We'll be right back.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, and it's Patrick Slattery with Wayne from West Virginia. And Wayne, so I had mentioned this earlier. There's this video of a armored car plowing into protesters, and I was commenting on the apparent speed of it, and it was certainly it wasn't going that fast. And I don't know if it actually did hit people. It might have, but it wasn't going faster than people could run. People could run. Maybe some people tripped or something, but I don't see anybody who seems to have actually been particularly hurt. So
Well, maybe they're going to break them up.
Well, yeah. And no, the cars, the armored personnel carriers or whatever these are, were very much under attack. I mean, that's the whole thing, is they're surrounded by people throwing rocks at them. And then, you know, one come like a few seconds later, one comes onto the screen and it's on fire. So, rocks, Molotov cocktails and whatnot. So I don't know. I have the feeling that this is going to fall apart and be a Bay of Pigs. I certainly hope so. You remember the Bay of Pigs, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I remember it very well. And I remember its failure as well. And I remember the scare tactics that were used. And basically, in Venezuela, you know, this is a banker's takeover of a mm-hmm. country. And what they do is they first bankrupt the country, and then they put a blockade around it, and then they starve the people into submission, or try to anyway. But that's a typical tactic of them.
Well, thank you, because I kind of omitted that earlier, you know, when I was talking about the Venezuelan economy. And what you say is absolutely correct. You've got this economic sanctions and this and that, and so they're trying to destroy the economy. So how much of the bad economy can be blamed on mismanagement, and how much on the sanctions and whatnot?
Well, you know, they tried. They did the same thing with Germany. They did the same thing in Iraq. And half a million children died.
And they're trying to do that to Russia.
But it was worse.
Iran and North Korea.
And, well, let's speak about China. You know, mm-hmm. they're so worried about socialism and how bad it is. Well, why don't they put a blockade around China? They're communists. And why are we dealing with them? You know, I'm just saying this. We know why, but, you know. But how can they justify one without justifying the other? So,
well, you know, given our current circumstance, I say maybe make America China again, because I'd rather have Chinese people. I'd rather have the Chinamen rule over me than the Jews, frankly. At least we'd know who's who.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You probably have better treatment because they're probably more honorable than the our Zionist friends are. They have no honor.
I don't know, if my listeners are really familiar with this, but there is some YouTube cartoon called Murdoch, and a few weeks ago, and I don't watch it, but I did see this one, and the Chinese did take over, and all of the white people were so happy because we're second class citizens now. We're not sixth class citizens anymore. This is great.
Yeah, well, China brought an island there in the Panama Canal. And that's very interesting. And if you want to look it up, it's on Tomato Bubble.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Wayne, for your call. And, well, we'll keep an eye on this. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.